Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What is up, folks? Oh boy, a tough night for the Tank, man. The Flames, it was a barn burner. The Tank Bowl was a freaking barn burner.
It was the toilet bowl barn burner. Boy, was that a good game.
It's a good game. Maybe Kadri, could you like not play like it's the Stanley Cup final? Maybe just for like 5 minutes, dude.
No.
Like five Crank minutes. It
Crank it up.
Anyways, we'll the, we're gonna be breaking.
We'll get the pick we deserve. Fuck this. Yeah, that's lose true. On purpose.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to lose on purpose, but I mean, like, it doesn't hurt.
Like, don't let up. No letting up. You know that it creates bad habits for next season.
Yeah, I guess.
Your mic's it's the fuzzy. Same thing from game to game or season to season. Is it bad?
Your mic's fuzzy, so maybe just switch to the other mic. So we're going to break down the Tank Bowl that we just saw here. Oh, man, that was a really good game, dude. That was a great game. If you're not worried about the draft position and you are of the belief that, hey, let the chips fall where they may, that's a really enjoyable game. Thought Coronado was really good. Thought Connor Zeri looked really good. Igor becomes the highest single-season scoring Belarusian player. Nazem Kadri was fucking awesome. Dustin Wolf had some shaky moments, but he gets the win. So there's a lot to like about that. But that's kind of a tough one for Team Tank.
How's the mic now?
Yeah, it's pretty echoey, but it'll do.
I'm freezing. My mic blows. You might have to do this on your own, bro.
I'll take it on my own.
I'm going to have to go to – it's not Future Shop anymore, is it? I think that's my problem.
You got to take it. You got to take it to the store, man.
Probably the last time I went shopping for gear was when Future Shop was still around.
Anyways, you're a big proponent of this anti-tank thing a little bit. So what do you think of the game tonight?
Oh, I can't do it. It's not in my nature. And I don't think it should be in these guys' nature either. I mean, you see it when you're getting clocked from a team. It's a blowout. All you're looking, if you're a team, is to get a little momentum at the end of the game to take you into the next game. You see it time and time again. So I think it's the same thing. You know, you're going from season to season. You're going to want to go into the offseason with something substantial, you know, as a team, as a player, as an individual. You want something meaty to be able to, you know, prepare yourself for next season. Like, we've never covered a rebuild before on this podcast. This is going to be new territory for us.
Not a rebuild. God damn it. It's a retool.
And when was the last time they legit went through a rebuild?
I don't think
it feels like they've been trying this retool thing out for ages.
Yeah. You sold this bill of goods when Jay Feaster took over with his chubby little fingers. He was all about the retool. I mean,
all about the refill of the big gulp.
Yeah. Fill me up. Give me a freaking size 64 ounce 7-Up, please.
Free hot dog. I'll take two.
That was definitely part of Jay Feaster's contract for sure. But you kind of saw this with Tree Living too. I like the rebuilding years under with the Gaudreau and Monahan and Kachuk. You picked twice in the top. You picked Kachuk 6 overall, Monahan 6 overall, Bennett 4 overall. That's functionally a rebuild. But the way they kind of handled it was still in the name of a retool. It was their trading first round picks, like smack dab right in the middle of prime rebuilding years. I don't know if you'd call the Young Guns era that everybody hates a rebuild. That was just kind of like the economic reality of the team being terrible and unable to pay anybody. So I don't think they've ever really been through a rebuild in the modern sense.
We recorded an episode earlier today. This was probably the main talking point. Hey, since you asked me the question, let's throw this Uyghur quote up here. I think this is a great talking point.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, do you want to cheer for losing or winning? Yes, secretly, when they lose, you're like, well, that's okay. So Uyghur had this to say, I don't know, a couple days ago. I think it was Francis reporting on this. It's easy to ask for a trade. I grew up not to be a quitter. I want to stay here. I want to win a cup here. I love this city. I believe in Connie and Husk, Backlund, Nas, and everybody. I don't think we're far. I want to turn it around. Starts with yourself. A, fuck yes. This is like immaculate leadership, is it not?
Super immaculate leadership. Slap the captaincy on this guy in a couple of years, man.
This is captaincy vibes. But, you know, you and I are talking about this all the time, which is if you're a guy like Kadri, you're a guy like Uyghur, you know, you just sign these massively long contracts to stay here in Calgary thinking the team was going to be relevant. Remember, Kadri was like, yeah, we got the best, you know, center depth in the league now.
Take on anybody in the league with me and Lindholm and Backlund down the middle.
So these guys really, you know, thought Calgary was going to be competitive. Turns out, no, we're not going to be. We're going through rebuild. So if you're these guys and you're here for the long haul, yeah, you can pout. Like it looks like Huberto does, has been since he's still not over Florida dumping him. Hey, he's like the guy that started a new relationship, still going on about his ex with his new girlfriend.
Dude, you know he's got his flight booked Fort Lauderdale after the game against San Jose, the last game of the year.
So, I mean, you're in professional sports, and you know a guy like this Uyghur, his mindset. Wow, to be in this type of a season where your team is literally in the tank bowl, you know, the final 2 months of the season. Guys like him, Kadri, Coleman, they've been coming up with quotes all year long. They have to figure out something that's going to motivate them as individuals and as a group. And then I don't know, what's the goal for next season for these guys? I just think that you never want to try to suck and lose on purpose, because it just, that type of mentality, you know, you don't want that to carry on to game over game, season over season. I like that these guys are digging in almost harder than we've seen all season long to round out the season. This is great.
Yeah, it's great. At the same time, I'm kind of like, yeah, why weren't they doing this? Why weren't they digging in last year? Like, where was this performance from a lot of these guys last year when they are in a playoff?
Oh, because there was
it is right there.
There was a dark cloud ruling over Huberto, man.
So in one sense, yeah, I see that stuff from Uyghur. I'm like, fuck yeah, man. As a fan, you want things to hold on to. You have to see that. So as a fan, you like that. But then, you know, the other part of me is like, yeah, but you like totally. I mean, Uyghur was good last year, so I'm not picking on him specifically. I'm just saying a lot of these guys who this year, as the Flames sit in what are they, 24th, 25th in the league? All of a sudden, we're like praising their leadership and, oh, these guys are such great. You're in the fucking tank bowl, and you absolutely sucked to end last season. So I like it, but at the same time, I do have a bit of a cynical attitude towards some of the leadership stuff. So.
No, that's a great point. And I mean, hey, it seems like in Calgary, the bar is pretty low in terms of, you know, having a lot of support, even when you suck. Right. Yeah. But
anyways, it was a great game tonight. I'm not going to, Kuzmenko was awesome. We didn't even mention him. I thought Matthew Coronato he's had a string of two or three really good games, which, I mean, that's what we're really looking for at this time. We're in small victories season here to round out the year. Thought Connor Zeri was very good.
Zeri had an unreal game. He's looking good at center. That's
Kuzmenko, though.
Drawing penalties.
Kuzmenko, though. What the fuck? What is with this guy? It's very interesting. He had a very, very interesting game tonight.
It's a very interesting for me. Sportsnet threw Kuzmenko stat up here. Most points among players under 15 minutes of ice time per game this season. He's right up there, tied for second in the league. I mean, he came over from Vancouver. You know, there's a transition period. Everybody always talks about that. He battled through some illness. He battled through a bit of an injury. So this is what we're seeing. This is the player he is. The guy's on a fucking heater to round out the season.
He's on a heater too. And you know what? Like, we criticize guys for maybe getting hot at garbage time, but I think.
No, what you have do. You seen?
I do for sure. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, Huberto's putting up his points in meaningless games. Oh, great.
If we're talking about Huberto, yeah, I'll jump on board with you.
Okay. So it's just Huberto. But I mean, if you look at, because the conversation around Kuzmenko right now is like, oh, do we trade him? Do we keep him? What do we do with him? And it's kind of interesting to see, like, how long has he been considered, like, cause, like, we, everyone's like, oh, Vancouver didn't want him for the playoff run. They are doing better without him, stuff like this. Like, he's not a playoff guy. Like, you've probably seen what percentage of his NHL career in 2 years now has been subpar. It's a very short amount. He was awesome. He was awesome last year, and he's been absolutely lights out. And I think probably better than people give him credit for since he got here. Like you said, he was sick. He had the injury. So it's just been like a brief chunk in time where like he and Tocca didn't see eye to eye, and he hasn't been on top of his game. But dude, the guy's been, he's like, you look at this guy and it's like, holy shit, he's probably one of the most elite like Russians in the game right now. And his ineffective hockey, the sample of that, has been extremely short in the NHL.
Dude, I was thinking about this morning before the game started. I was just like, how did Vancouver fuck this one up? I get like, I don't know the discourse. I don't follow much outside of the Flames. Like, I'm very dialed into, you know, the Flames world of sports. Pacific Division, I'll follow, but I don't know what were Vancouver fans saying. What was the problem with Kuzmenko? He didn't get along with Tocca, obviously.
Well, I mean, kind of the stuff you hear. Oh, his defensive game. He wasn't really like committed to playing hard the way Tocca wanted him to. I mean, if you look at his defensive,
but like you're saying, like it's your second season. This guy scored 39 goals as a rookie. What is his rookie year?
I mean, he's a rookie,
older player, but still, you would think you'd give a guy a bit more of a leash. I guess they just thought the value was Erik Lindholm. It was a good little swap, but they gave up a shitload at the same time. I'm sitting here like, dude, we got rid of our most ineffective player in Lindholm at the time. The guy had mailed it in since the start of the season. You get Kuzmenko back, plus you get a huge haul. Like, how the fuck did Connie pull that off?
Dude, did he put the wool over freaking Alvin's eyes and Jim Rutherford and just like, Lindholm, Selke Canada is going to take everything from you. What a great trade. He's been so good. And, you know, I know a lot of the talk is like, hey, are we going to pump and dump him? What are we going to do with him? And I think that's valid. I think there's nobody on this team you shouldn't consider moving if it's the right move. But I don't know. He's just such a great player. And he's such a good dude. The vibes, you want to talk about immaculate vibes. This motherfucker has some immaculate vibes going on. And he brings a lot of energy to the entire team. And he's been clicking with Nas. That's been just a delight to watch. So I don't know. I'm curious. I'm open-minded as I can be right now in terms of keeping Kuzmenko for the future. We'll see.
Yes. It's very interesting for me.
Very interesting. Very interesting for Andrei Kuzmenko. He has another, dude, 3 points tonight, 6 points in his last two games. Absolutely has revitalized the power play. Oh. We've gone from having probably the most unwatchable power play.
Jack, you want those power play stats real quick?
What is it? Like, it's been first in the league since like late March. It's been top 11 since early March. And I mean, it's not all been his doing. I think it was kind of starting to come together before he got here. But dude, he has been the catalyst for a Flames power play that is suddenly not only fucking not terrible, but dangerous.
Dude, 42.9%. I think they said in the last little stretch here, it has had the best numbers in the league. Better than Edmonton, folks.
Yeah, since the end of March, I think they've had the best power play in terms of percentage in the entire league. And that's crazy considering I think it's still like overall like 25th or 26th. That just shows you how bad it was previously.
And you can, you know, the timeline coincides with one, Uyghur.
Yeah.
On the blue line. That's the main thing.
Oh, also, what a great idea, eh?
Oh, yeah. The guy that's the top three in defensive scoring. Yeah, let's wait 74 games to put him on the PP.
Let's try Rasmus Anderson. Let's try Miro Manov.
Rasmus Anderson on PP2 tonight? It's like, oh, my God. I'm so glad we're not watching this on PP1 anymore.
No shit. Anyways, power play has been on fire. So, I don't know. I'm open-minded with Kuzmenko. And it'll... like I said, there's no player on this team, given where they're at in the cycle of their rebuild or retool or whatever you want to call it. Everybody's on the table, but you just look at how good this guy is. We bitch and moan about how we don't have any skill on this team anymore. This guy has tons of skill. He's scoring goals, and these plays, these like goal line plays and these plays he's setting up and these goals he's scoring are pretty much what you've really been missing since Matthew Tkachuk left. Like a lot of these goals, that goal he scored in Anaheim the other night, that's a Tkachuk goal.
How about game-breaking goals?
Yeah, exactly. Big goals. And again, it's garbage time, but still. So I got a massive open mind. I got such an open mind about Kuzmenko re-signing, my brain might fall out.
Well, we had a discussion on the podcast earlier today about this because, you know, I'm throwing this at you, this scenario. If you can extend him, then regardless, he's still always a good trade chip if you have him at a pretty decent deal. I mean, if you're going to actually keep him around after his contract expires next year, you know, if he goes off next season, which all signs point to, he's probably going to, offensively speaking, then you might be able to get him at a better deal if you do an extension in the offseason. I get, and that, you know, your concern with that is how long is the term going to be? But man, if you can, you know, the only kind of clarity right now Connie has in terms of the vision for this team is to be competitive by the time the new rink is built. I think anything from now until then, it's just, can we keep an entertaining product on the ice while we keep making solid management decisions, manage our assets,
yeah,
keep focusing on the draft and bringing up and recruiting. So
yeah,
like, I don't know. I'm down for extending this guy in the offseason.
Yeah. If the term and dollar are feasible and reasonable, then I think absolutely the Flames would be, and I would be too. You just don't want to be doing anything that, and it's not even that it doesn't fit your window. It's just, you're probably not in a position to be handing out contracts to anybody. I think the other thing to consider is, I think this maybe applies more to a possible Sharon Govich extension than a Kuzmenko extension. Is he more valuable on your team than what you could get for him in the open market? Because you've kind of seen this with wingers especially. It's like, right, you can't get jack shit for wingers right now, apparently. It's like, you even look at what Toffoli, who is having another great season this year. And even though the Sharon Govich trade has worked out great for the Flames, initially that return looked really light. Wingers are hard to trade. Toffoli has scored back-to-back 30-goal seasons, and he's like not getting traded for much. So I don't know. We'll see what Craig has up his sleeve. I trust him to handle it similarly to how he did the Toffoli one, how he did the Dazorov, Lindholm. If the price is right and it makes sense for the team, Craig's going to probably do what's best for the team. And I think we can trust in that at this juncture, can't we? I think we have enough faith in Connie to do that, don't we? Well, maybe.
With what he's done yet this far, for sure he's getting the benefit of my doubt.
Yeah, dude. Has Kuzmenko, he's got 19 points in how many of his games? He's doubled Lindholm's production. He's got more goals than Mangiapane. Dude, just keep him around for the vibes. Here's what we do. You keep Yegor Sharangovich, you sign him for the Lego memes, just for the memes. And you keep Kuzi around just for the vibes.
I'd sign them both. What about Mangiapane? He's kind of like the other. These are the three expiring deals after next season.
Yeah, so next season, after the end of next season, you have kind of three main unrestricted free agents: Kuzmenko, Mangiapane, and Sharangovich.
Oh man, it'll be interesting. Are we ready to move on from Mangiapane? Is that where we're at?
Probably. I don't know. I still really like him, but if he's going to be what is he turning 20, 28, 20? He'll be 29 when his new contract kicks in, I think. I wouldn't be surprised if both team and player were open to something in going in a new direction. I still think I'm still more of a Mangiapane proponent than a lot of people. I know he's had a tough year goal scoring wise, but I still think he does a lot of the things that he's paid to do, just drive play, be a good two-way player. But yeah, we'll see. I think that one's more of a question mark than Sharangovich for sure. And then Kuzmenko is maybe a bit of a wild card.
If you're Connie, how would you handle the Mangiapane situation? Would you prefer that maybe he beefs up his trade value, so you're looking to trade him at the deadline?
Yeah, I mean, if he could get, like, what does he have? He's going to finish the year with, like, maybe 40 points.
Yeah, that's a really off season for him, man.
I think he's not getting to 20 goals, that's for sure. So he's probably not has a ton, doesn't have a ton of value. He's got 14 goals, 39 points. I still think his underlying numbers are still pretty solid this year. Maybe not so much defensively as they usually are, but you probably test the market in the summer. And if it's not what you like, you kind of start the season with him and see where it goes from there.
All right, let's get to some of the game here. If you got, if you're in the comments in the chat, throw some questions up. We'll get to those after the breaks. Sorry if my mic blows. I had a mic plugged in and it sounded like I was getting abducted by an alien or something. So we'll get a fix for the next one. So Coyotes come in, obviously lots of news swirling
this Utah team. The Utah Super Soakers, Salt Lake City Storm and Mormons. What's our name?
Storm and Mormons. Okay. Cause I'm seeing all these names out here. I'm like, I've known, you know, oh yeah, the Tabernacles. I saw that.
Yeah. Tabernacles. That's a good one.
But
just call them the Latter-day Saints.
There you go. Ooh, that's actually really good.
Rings right off the tongue.
Now, this Yotes team has been actually cruising here in the last little bit, and they came out flying. Like, they're looking
a good little team.
They're looking like a good little team. They got a lot of skill. They got a lot of pop. I'm not sure where they're at on the defensive side of things. I mean, it's a 6-5 final.
Yeah. Well, Ingram kind of letting, like, he is doing his best tank job for them there.
6-5 final. I don't know. What were your thoughts on Wolf tonight? There was very little defense. A lot of,
yeah.
I mean, that first one goes,
dude, in,
and you're like, oh, fuck, because we're here banging the Wolf drum all day long, every day. That one goes in, you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But, you know, the broadcast did a good job. I think it probably did go off Shillington's stick, because Shillington's stick moved like a motherfucker. They showed the replay, like it was bending. So I don't know. Maybe you just throw that one aside. But even still,
you're going to have
cross-ice one-timers.
4-on-1, they had that change in the neutral zone. It's like a freaking 4-on-1.
And that's the Yotes, like, their guys are sniping top shelf, top cheese.
And, I mean, I think some of those goals, like, he's just, the fact of the matter is he's a smaller guy, and you're just going to have to deal with the fact that sometimes he's going to let in goals where he's just small, you know, like shoulders kind of drop sometimes.
You know, but we also saw the patented quick cross-ice, you know, toe saves, and
he made a couple of really good saves right in the slot. He had one, a glove save on Keller, good positioning. So it wasn't his best game, but he's going to hit how many games has he played? He hasn't even played 20 NHL games. He's going to have some rough games.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no defense. So, yeah. I mean, this is the same.
Dude, your defense is like Miramanov and Shillington and Pahal and Nahota. It's like, this is a skeleton crew of defenders here.
Yeah. I was having a chat with somebody on Twitter. I forget what his name was, but he's making a good point. Like, if you track any of these young goaltenders coming up, remember, Wolf's like technically a call-up still. Like, he's your third-ringer guy. He's just there due to injuries, really, essentially. But if you track the progression of these goaltenders, you're not going to see killer stats in their first, you know, couple seasons. But it's nice to see his progression happening, taking place.
Well, yeah, and it's not like the Flames, like you said, no defense. Flames haven't been a leaky defensive team all year. And the Coyotes have some really skilled shooters over there, so.
All right, so the Yotes go up 2-0 early, and you're sitting here like, oh, fuck, it looks like we're going to get it.
Like, looks like the tank is on. For the tank, baby.
Hue up the Hubero, driving the tank beams. Let's go. And then the Flames come back from two-goal deficits. That first goal, man, Kuzmenko.
Dude,
that was pretty. You want to do highlight of the night?
Let's do highlight of the night, and it's like a two-tiered one here.
It was two-tiered. I pulled the fan base over 100 votes. Sharky gets the slight edge, but it's a bit of a tie. So we'll do the Betway highlight of the night. Nice little dish back. Look at that spin around backhand.
Dude.
Hey, he looked like Huberto there, except he completed the pass.
Didn't go into the corner. That's such a great play, too. And I mean, this is, frick, man. Like, it's somebody mentioned in the chat, like, all the talk about Kadri and Kuzmenko, but Pospisil has been so good this year.
Dude, he's just a fucking buzzsaw.
He's an absolute buzzsaw, man.
That first shift, he absolutely unmuscled whoever that was, stripped him of the puck, almost set up a nice little scoring chance, threw a couple hits, O'Brien's yelled out off the bench. This is the first shift, man, setting the tone early.
Yeah, dude is like what is he, like a Michael Ferland, a new and improved kind of like Michael Ferland, eh?
Yeah.
Like that comparable, but he's so, the thing that's interesting with Pospisil is just his honest impact has been so good this year. Like, it's just, it's surprising to me.
So the Betway highlight of the night, we're going to get to the Sharky goal in a sec, but the highlight of the night is presented by Betway. Get the Betway app on your phone. Bet the responsibly with Betway. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create an account, scan the QR code on the screen, and redeem your bonus. Place a bet. No minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer is available outside of Ontario. I did redeem this. I bet on the Coyotes to win tonight, so I'll get my $20 back.
You like the tank. I know you like the tank.
See, no, I like hedging my emotions.
You love the tank. Yeah, it's true.
I like hedging my emotions.
You win either way.
If the Flames win, I'm happy. And if they lose, then I win some money. So, you know. Bed your emotions. So let's let's see the Sharky goal, because this took the cake for the actual highlight of the night. And it was just the last one was a sweet passing play. This individual skill on this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Ooh, goal scorer's goal, baby. Oh, that was sick. Great hands. Most people are just stuffing that in.
Well, the thing is, he already knew he was going to make the move while the pass is coming to him, man. That's quick thinking.
Oh, it's just beautiful. Beautiful watching. He passes Mikhail Grabowski. He already became the first Belarusian player to score 30 goals in a season. He now passes Mikhail Grabowski to be the highest single scoring season by a Belarusian player.
Lovely. I mean, you call that a goal scorer's goal. The Kuzmenko goal is also a goal scorer's goal. You see him trailing the play. He finds that empty space all alone for the empty netter tap in. Just some beauties tonight.
Dude, every goal was sick. Hey, the thing about Igor that's like, hey, I'm maybe a bit more critical of his overall game than most people, but does the dude only score sick goals?
Yep.
It's either absolute lazy. Dude, like he only scores sick goals. I've never seen him score a garbage goal in my life.
Dude, if I'm calling him, I'm fine locking these up 3, even 4 seasons. Like these guys, watching Kuzi, watching Sharon Govich, they're going to make this rebuild, retool feel a lot quicker.
Than having to watch. What did they have to watch last time before Johnny showed up? It was like they traded a frick. You don't even want to remember some of those names. Lee Stempniak. No offense. I like Lee Stempniak, but. Some of those nights, I think Jordan's freezing up a bit. You good?
I think I'm okay. I might need to just, I got to go to Future Shop. Okay. New computer, new.
Dude, you got it. You got to get a new laptop. You got to get a new router. You got to get the whole shebang.
I need to start a GoFundMe, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's get an ad break in here. When we come back, we'll finish breaking down the game and then get your guys' questions.
Greta, it's our home away from home for Afterburner. We'll be there for live watch parties throughout the season. Should be your spot regardless. Before, during, and after the game, grab a cocktail, something from the menu, let the games begin, or maybe you get into the game yourself. Over 50 arcade games from vintage to state-of-the-art. Load up some credits on that Greta game card of yours and get at it. Greta Calgary, located at 213 10th Avenue Southwest. Check them out online, gretabar.com.
It's nearly the best time of the year. Playoff hockey is around the corner, and I'll tell you what, the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino is the place to be. Cheer on your favorite teams with us at the Stage Bar. Enjoy the big game, one of those huge screens over the bar with friends, drinks, and delicious food. Let's go visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. Now, while I've got your attention, let me tell you about the happy hour at the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino. Let's make the most of the day and spend your afternoons with great drinks and food. Join us at the Stage Bar and Blaze Bar and Grill for our new happy hour every day, 2 till 5. Enjoy food, drinks, all starting at $5. Make the most of your days. Visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. If you're thinking of buying or selling your home in the Calgary area, there's one guy you've got to talk to. That's Derek Newman of the Derek Newman Real Estate Group with CIR Realty. Buying or selling doesn't really matter. Derek does it all. He's a volunteer in the community, active in sports around the city, whether it's golf, curling, huge Flames fan. So talking sports or talking about the real estate market, definitely give him a shout. He's approachable, trustworthy, and hardworking. Also, Derek's got a pretty vast network. He's even got access to some homes often that aren't even on the market yet. And you can ask him about his complimentary home staging consultation as well. Buying or selling, call him or text him right now at 403-619-6661. Derek will make it easy for you. Get Derek and his network to work for you. That's Derek Newman. Email him at dnewman@cirrealty.ca. More post-game reaction right here. We're back on Afterburner.
All right, man. We're going to get to DoorDash's Hungry for More in a minute, but we got to talk some Matthew Coronato first.
So Flames go down 2-0. They tie it up with, I think, halfway through the first with that goal we saw from Kuzmenko, and then this Coronato snipe. Fuck. He's coming down 2-1, and I'm just like, oh, we got this too. Sweet. He's coming down 2-1 as a fan. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, goal call. Shoot it. Shoot it. Come on. Shoot it.
So
what does he do? This kid can snipe.
Kid can snipe. got an NHL release. We've kind of known he has an NHL release. That's the one thing we, you know, remember the preseason? He was tearing it up in the preseason. We were all like, man, tantalizing. Hasn't really translated much this year. And it's been kind of disappointing, the lack of production, but I do think I think at the beginning of the year, he was generating some scoring chances until he was sent down. He's got, 42 points in 40 games in the AHL? Pretty good, 21-year-old. And you got to remember, it's his first – he played college last year. It's his first year pro.
Yeah.
First year pro. That's a huge adjustment, man. Huge adjustment.
This the CHL is probably unmatched, you know, at preparing kids from junior to make a step into the show. So, but it's not easy to do. But, you know, for college, you're right. I think that's maybe why the foot speed is taking a bit more to adjust.
I think he's picked up his pace for sure. You've seen him motoring around on that play, right? He just gets on his horse and flies up the ice. He's had a couple really nice shifts. I think he didn't play very much in the San Jose game, but he had that one. He had a really nice primary assist on the Rasmus Anderson goal. He sets that up. There's that shift against the Ducks the other night where he just freaking had the puck on a string for 30, 40 seconds and just kind of flubbed the shot, which was odd. But
hey, he's been taking heat from some fans, but I've had zero problem with his development arc, what I've seen from this season.
And I mean, the other thing too is he's been playing all over the lineup, right?
That's tough, man, playing on the fourth line.
Well, playing on the fourth line, but he's here, he's there, he's everywhere. He's in the minors, he's up for a game. He's playing with Rooney. There was a play the other night where he makes a really nice outlet pass to Rooney, joins the rush. No shade on Rooney. He's been good, but Rooney just dumps it in and goes for a change. You're having a hard time creating quality scoring chances playing those kind of minutes with those kind of guys. And I mean, if you look at his scoring, if you look at his rates, per 60 minutes, he's actually producing a lot more scoring chances than you might think. So I've been pretty impressed with him recently. Obviously, you hope it starts to translate and you hope to see what you saw the last couple games and especially tonight.
Well, we did a good segment on him on today's our own podcast earlier today. But basically, you know, the underlings are there. To me, you can see he's progressing into the game. I just think that once he starts put some goals away, then he's going to start popping off here. So it's nice to see him to score tonight. Hopefully, he can score one more goal before the season ends. You know, come in with some confidence from the offseason and get a good camp and then crack the lineup. And who knows, maybe, I don't know, how many goals do you think he scores next year?
I don't know. At the beginning of this year, we're all like, hey, maybe he could have a Monahan type rookie season where he does hit that 20 goal mark. I don't know. You'd like to pencil him in for 15, 20. You'd think, I think with that shot and what he can do offensively, and if he does get a bit more playing time. And again, if you look at his scoring chances metrics, he's actually creating a lot. So like you said, once that starts going in for him, you get him some power play time, which we saw early in the year and was promising before he was kind of taken off. But yeah, you probably hope he can be what you're hoping for is you get a 20 goal scorer out of this guy.
Absolutely. I think that when he does pop off, he will score 20, 25.
Yeah. He's got he's got a motor. He competes hard. You know what? It's been an adjustment, but I like it. Anyways, let's get to Hungry for More, presented by DoorDash. DoorDash has restaurants. They have groceries, pharmacies, bakeries, flower shops, and more. DoorDash has everything you need. Ordering is easy. You open the app. You choose what you want from where you want. You can use Double Dash, which means you can order from multiple restaurants or stores, get the same delivery without additional delivery fees. You can use the code NATION25 for 25% off and zero delivery fees on an order, your first order of $15 or more. That code is NATION25. So, you know, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for just more of what I saw from Matt Coronato the last couple games, him specifically. He's had a few really nice games. You want to see him finish off the season strong, come to camp strong, get ready to roll. I mean, he was great in camp this year. He had a hat trick in preseason, but the more confidence he has, the more minutes he plays, the better he's going to feel.
I used this Nation 25 discount last week, folks.
Yeah.
If you're ordering food online, don't forget to use it. Good little discount. I don't know, man. After seeing this Uyghur quote, it amps me up to know that there's guys that are this bought into such a shitty like his mental state, frame of mind, you know, throughout this entire rebuild process. Like I'm jacked up. I'm just hungry for whatever, you know, whatever this group is going to rally behind in the next 2-3 seasons, all these vets that are stuck here. Like it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting and intriguing to see how this little retool on the fly goes, because I mean, we talk about this, you have some really interesting pieces on this team. Kuzmenko has scored 40. He's playing like a 40 goal scorer. He's playing like an 80.
He's playing like a fucking superstar.
There's no reason why he can't hit 90 points playing like this next season. The power play is finally clicking. You got Uyghur. Is he going to build on this season? You got Kadri having a career year?
Dude, it's Kadri's having the second best season he's had in his career. The other one was in Colorado when he had 87 points.
You have these young guys in Zari and Possible, so they're showing flashes. Coronado is starting to develop a bit. Like you have these pieces, and you got the, you know, I don't know about Backlund and Mangiapane. I'd like to see more from them next season. But I don't know. It's an interesting team. I mean, yes, we're eighth last place right now, so I don't know.
Well, yeah,
it's just going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
You saw it from Anderson. Like when was it? Rasmus Anderson was doing his post game a couple weeks ago, and he just kind of like started like out of nowhere pontificating about like being a leader and being a role model for young players, and how he had such a great first year, but he struggled in his second year, and trying to be for players throughout their development. These guys are like calling out and trying to find their meaning for the next few years. And hey, you love to see it from guys like, you love to see that shit. And it doesn't mean it's necessarily going to translate into a quick retool or whatever, but if you're a fan and you're a fan of this team, that's exactly what you want to see and hear from your leaders. And yeah, maybe it's bullshit. What else is he going to say? But he could say nothing, and he didn't. So
Zari ties up the game in the second period. Sweet little setup from Hunt. Dude, that's Zari's 14th goal.
He's been okay, dude. We gotta. I took some heat for saying that Zari, I think, has been the Flames' best skater since getting called up. Oh, by the way, make sure Nation25, use that DoorDash code Nation25, 25% off your first order of $15 or more. I took a little bit of heat for mentioning that I think Connor Zary's been the Flames' best skater since he's been called up. I probably should have framed it more along the lines of he's been their most consistent and one of the most impactful skaters. Because obviously Kadri all season long or Uyghur have been better. But dude, this kid, from the moment since he came up, with his skill, with his hard work, with his just defensive awareness, just with his overall attention to detail, he has been so solid. Another solid game tonight.
Well, do you remember Kadri was doing fuck all until he started playing with Pospisil and Zaryan? Yeah. It's like, that's when Kadri turned his season around, and he's been humming ever since.
Yeah.
But I think you got to give Zari especially credit, Pospisil as well, to help, you know, a resurgence of Kadri's season, his individual season this season.
Well, and now he's taking Hughie. Zari got Kadri on the right track.
And Hughie going.
Hughie on the right track, man. Get him going. They've got some chemistry. You never know that Connor Zary has played as he played four. Has he played five games at center? You'd never know he played five games at the hardest position to play in the NHL.
In the NHL, in the best league in the world. Like,
looking really good. He's legit. Those two guys looked really good against the Oilers. They had a really nice connection on a goal against the Ducks and looked pretty good again tonight.
Where did we draft him again? Zary?
He was, I think he was in the 2020 draft. He was like 22nd or 24th. They traded down a couple times to get him, I remember.
So he went first round.
Yeah, he was in the Dawson Mercer draft, I remember.
Yeah, first round, but late.
Yeah, it was later.
Some of these, you know, 20-plus picks, they don't usually pan out. And, you know, up until now, he's been potentially one of your better prospects. But, man, has he really had an amazing season first
year. Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, a good way to, like, because he had a really tough first-year pro. Injuries were part of that. But you look at, like, Coronado, it's like these guys take a little bit of time to kind of figure things out a little bit.
Back to the second period, the Coyotes go back up 5-3, another two-goal lead. Shane Doan's kid, Josh Doan, this guy's been lighting it up. And I mean, look, We talked about Tiege on the last two. We've been talking about him on the podcast. We won't spend too much time on Tiege, but is this not a prime example of, like, it's the exact same situation? Shane Doan is part of the Coyotes organization. I don't know what they're going to be called next. Josh Doan comes soakers. In. He's lighting donors. Up. He's lighting up.
He's looked so good
tonight. Such a snipe.
That was so sweet. And all you can think of is, like, imagine Iggy in one of the Flames jerseys.
We'll see what happens, man. And
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
He's kind of all over the place in terms of, he's for sure he's around that top 10 area.
Yeah.
So I don't know if winning games now means makes it a more slam dunk to pick him. Like, I'm down for that.
Yeah, good point.
Igor Sharangovich, we saw that nifty little goal. Kadri ties it up in the third. Kadri scores another one off of Uyghur. I thought Kuzmenko did a great job on this game.
Great job. Well, yeah, you know, we were talking about how he's kind of got those Tkachuk hands in tight. That's a little Tkachuk play too. Like, most guys like try to like poke that in or don't know what to do with a bouncing puck right in the slot. He makes a really skilled play and knows what to do with it.
The Flames on the power play late. I guess it was early in the period, 5 minutes in. And so, yeah, you got Kuzmenko digging the puck out. He dishes it over to Uyghur, goes off of Kadri's leg.
You kind of wish Weegsy has got it. He would have got his 20th, but he'll get it next time.
Here it is here. Man, this power play has been...
Dude, crazy. It was like buzzing. Look at that. See how they're choking in? They never used to do that either.
See, Kadri was celebrating there. He thought it was
there. Yeah. That was sweet.
There you go. I literally thought we might have seen Uyghur score twice in one shift. I don't know if I've ever seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Remember that play in... I remember the Islanders, New York Islanders in overtime. I want to say it was Chris Campoli, but he scores twice. The puck went through the net. Remember that's that? Sick. Yeah, that's what I thought awesome. We saw. Yeah, and that was a great goal.
Turns out he scored zero times. but dude, what an entertaining game. Like, that was a fucking barn burner.
Tank bowl barn
toilet, burner. Toilet bowl tankathon barn burner. You know, I know you're kind of upset they won, but
it doesn't change anything in the current tank. It just would have got you like that much closer to Arizona. We did take a bit of a tumble today because freaking Seattle lost. Fuck.
Dude, we're getting right around 10. Where Tiege's going.
Listen, I do agree with the kind of like, I mean, in my heart, I'm like, dude, just lose and get the best pick possible. But I understand letting the chips fall where they may and getting the pick. Sometimes you never know, right? Like, the hockey gods have an interesting way of reward, except for the Oilers. They just get whatever they want, but. Hockey gods have an interesting way of rewarding good work.
Okay, Michael, what do you want to do next? Toyota, you want to do another ad break?
Let's do a break, and then we will come back with the road ahead and get your questions in. And we'll
get your questions in. Let's do this.
Questions.
Let's hammer them out.
We are well into the winter months now, and you can feel it, can't you? That urge to get away. Maybe some beach time to warm up those bones of yours. Maybe a hockey sports kind of road trip. Well, when you pack your bags, make sure you don't forget Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sharing memories, and that's making new ones. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more wherever travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information. Alberta Blue Cross, celebrating life's memorable moments inspired by hockey.
Hey guys, it's Pinder.
chatting about Charm Diamond Center. Did you know that Charm's been Canadian-owned and operated since 1972? And there's over 85 locations coast to coast with Charm and their sister brands. Get this now. You want to get something custom made? How about custom ring building delivered in less than 4 weeks? That's unreal. That is the Charm Masterpiece Program, and they've got unbeatable pricing policies as well. Whether it's mine diamonds or Canadian lab-grown diamonds, check them out. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. That's charmdiamondcenters.com.
All right, gang, listen up. It's time to learn the pro pose. Coach?
Bend and snap.
Beautiful form. Nice arm extension. Facial expression, I could use some work. All right, let's see it. The pro pose. What's that guy doing?
I think that's the bend and snap.
That's a whole different deal.
Charm, home of the pro pose.
Oh! The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. But there's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know you're heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon pull apart and a small coffee. It's a great choice. Sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Let's get back to the hockey talk. Afterburner returns.
All right, man. Let's look at this schedule. Let's look at the tank. We call it the road ahead. Why don't we call it the tank ahead, eh? Tank ahead. The season's almost done. Dude, this season's been dragging on a little bit. I got to be honest with you. Tonight was a nice reprieve, but it's been dragging on.
Well, you just want the playoffs to get going so you can watch the Oilers lose.
I hate the Oilers. Yeah, yep.
Man, there's some good-looking teams coming out of the West.
Let's take a look at the road ahead by Village, presented by Village Honda. They're in the Northwest Auto Mall and online at villagehonda.com. They got new in-stock inventory on the ground. You can start all your automotive adventures at Village Honda. New vehicle pricing is MSRP. I told you my dad went there and got a car there. He keeps saying Village Honda, great place to go. All makes, all models, all budgets, 70 units on-site and access to over 400 more in their dealer group. Make Village Honda your one-stop automotive destination in Calgary. Northwest Auto Mall, online at villagehonda.com. All right, we got the Canucks on Tuesday. A nice 8 p.m. Mountain start. That'll be fun. Is Lindholm back? Is he back? Is he injured still? What's the deal with Lindholm? What's he been up to?
He's playing. I watched the final minutes of the Vancouver Oilers game last night. Oilers had their goalie out, empty netter, goalie pulled for the extra attacker, and Lindholm made a great, great defensive play.
Yeah, I'm still so cheering.
And then Zdorov rocks somebody right after that. So it was good.
I'm on the Jets bandwagon, not anything else, man. Toffoli and Monahan.
Somebody sent me I know you made this, but we have a picture of Huberto's newest acquisition from Village Honda.
Jack,
I just sent it to you. I don't know if you're able to pull it up, but maybe we can show everybody what Hubie is rolling around with these days while we look at the rest of the games here.
And then we got the Sharks. What do we got? 18th. We got the Sharks again. So, I mean, I wouldn't be complaining if they lost two in a row here to round out the season. Not going to complain. I think what's the lowest we can finish? We can still finish ahead of Seattle. We can still finish ahead of Ottawa. Yeah. We're probably where we're going to be honest, with two games left.
Ninth overall? No. Seattle, we're tied with Seattle, but they have the tiebreaker for the worst team.
I think we have the tiebreaker. Don't we have more regulation wins?
Well, they got them in there right now. So,
anyways, I don't think we're catching Ottawa on the inverse standings. We're definitely not catching the Yotes. The tank dream was alive there. It was alive for a little bit, but I'm okay.
We could catch the Devils if we're not careful. Then the bad way.
Yeah, please don't. Please don't. Just lose to Vancouver, lose to San Jose, and we're all good. Don't play Kadri or Uyghur. These guys need to take a night off.
You can even move up ahead of Buffalo. So you're picking somewhere between 8th and 12th.
You know we're gonna win. You know we're gonna close out the season like on a big heater. What would it be? We're going to win the last two games. So we'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1 in the last six games. You know that's going to happen. It's a universal law of the Calgary Flames. We can't pick in the top five or six.
There's your road ahead. Here's a picture of Huberto's new, he's got his new wheels, folks. Look at that whip.
He's the tank commander.
Just cruising around Calgary.
Cruising in the tank. He's the tank commander, man.
Just commanding the tank. Thanks, Jack.
All right. That was the road ahead presented by Village Honda. Again, my dad raves about this place. So
Village Honda. You gotta get him on here. Can you get him on the next one? Can we put a testimonial in or what?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Village Honda has a huge selection. Used vehicles. Northwest Auto Mall. Go down there, just like my dad. All right, man.
All right.
Should we take some questions? Do we want to get into it with these crazy people in the chat here or what?
Let's open it up. Let's get crazy. Let's get nuts.
You want to get nuts?
You want to get
nuts? Let's get nuts.
What's a realistic ask? If and when we trade Markey? I did want a good question, Kim. I wanted to bring this up with you when we were talking about player extensions, off seasons. What do you do? Does it feel, because it kind of starts to feel to me like the trade value is a little bit diminished now on our Markstrom as it was compared to trade deadline?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think the teams who like him will still like him. Right. You use the analogy of like, right, you want to buy a house, you're going to come back if you're interested.
So what is a realistic ask?
to me, I would take whatever anybody wants to give from Jacob Markstrom. Everybody just totally forgot about how bad he was last season. And we're like, oh, we got to get a haul. I don't know. You'd probably be looking for, I don't know. The goalie trades are hard because what's the last big goalie trade?
Well, and you know what? Like we roasted Fitzpatrick a bit for saying what he said post-deadline.
Yeah. Well, he bitched and whined, and he was like, I'm not going to let teams bully me into trading.
It's a GM exploitation. I got
to file a complaint. Jake Allen. So he was kind of being a little whiny bitch about it, for sure.
But you know what? I'm sitting here, I'm like, you know what? Maybe he's right, because Markey was going on a fucking heater. And if you do look at his past seasons – like, you look at the last season compared to this season. Well, how do you know how he's going to be next season?
Yeah.
We have no idea. So, I don't know. Maybe you don't put too much stock into, two-thirds. Yeah, two-thirds of a great goaltending season. But I don't know. Like,
I think in the summer, it's going to come down to just what's the appetite for the player to stay, because he's got full control with the no-movement clause. I don't even know if it's going to be Conroy setting the market, because it is probably going to be a case of, we're moving you, will you waive, or move me and I'll waive. Like, I don't think it's going to be a thing where the Flames set a price, and if somebody meets the price, they're going to move them. It'd probably be a discussion between Markstrom and Conroy beforehand. But I mean, if you're looking at what you want, you just probably want a young player, and maybe based on Markstrom's season, you'd maybe be wanting a first round pick, but you'd probably be, I don't know. I'm not getting my hopes up for like this huge Markstrom return, to be honest. I'd be happy with like a good prospect and a second round pick, to be honest.
I'd be happy with that as well.
Yeah. So.
All right, Ken, there is a lot of talk about maybe trading Kadri and Kuzmenko. I haven't seen a lot of that, but I'll trust you, Ken.
Kuzmenko for sure. Yeah.
The chemistry between the two is unbelievable. Would Connie really consider even pulling the trigger on any involving them? I think anything is on the table right now.
Everything's on the table. You're in a rebuild cycle. You're 20, what, in the league? You're in the bottom. You're in the tankathon. Everything and anything is on the table. Does
Connie just treat Kuzmenko and maybe Kadri in this conversation? But Kadri's got that, he's got that long term. So you got to find someone that's going to want to take that on. But does he treat Kuzmenko as one of his most valuable assets at this point? Like, how does he do this?
Well, I think Kuzmenko is a little different because he's just found money. You got him as a cap dump. If somebody offers you something you can't refuse, absolutely you trade him. Because listen, I'm a huge fan. I love watching Kuzmenko play. I've loved what I've seen. It's cool to see him and Kadri playing so well together. But then the side of me that wants the team to have a successful rebuild is like, well, you can't fall too in love with guys who are leading a team to a 24th overall finish, right? We can't be going too crazy. So if there's a trade that makes sense, you're absolutely going to look at it. I think with Kadri, it's different because by all accounts, he likes being here and he wants to stay here. And he does have a no movement clause. But if there were ever a situation where he came to the team and was like, I want to be moved, I'm sure you could get something back for him. So they're playing well together right now. I think everything's on the table, though.
They're playing phenomenal together right now.
Yeah, Kadri's been unbelievable this year.
Like, if you're another team and you're maybe interested in Kuzmenko, I think he comes with a bit of a question mark, right? He was unwanted by Vancouver. You don't really necessarily know if he can put together a full 82 yet or if he can play both sides of the ice. So I don't know. I think if you're Connie, you're just hoping that he has an unbelievable season, carries whatever he's doing now into next season. That will skyrocket his trade value if that becomes an option.
At the end of the day, both of those guys, well, Kadri specifically, aren't going to be core members of the team when they're competitive again, probably. So if there's a trade on the table, you absolutely go for it.
Kadri's going to be here for a while, man.
Yeah. Five more years only. It's not that bad.
Richard, two games left. What grade would you give Connie and Huska this season? They get different grades, obviously, but you want to take this one first?
Well, I think Conroy's done a pretty good job.
A-?
Yeah, probably. I think the one thing that's keeping me from giving Conroy an A grade is the fact that he was like trying to sign Lindholm for so long.
Yeah, not a good sign. And Hanifin.
I mean, Hanifin's less scary than Lindholm because he's probably at least going to give you some value on a deal that's paying him. What do you get in Vegas? Like 7.35?
He got paid.
So that's a big ticket for a guy like Hanifin. But he's done a really good job, other than like those red flags of like, yeah, they did offer Lindholm a shit ton of money. And I mean,
they backed up a Brinks truck to Lindholm's driveway, and thank God he declined.
Yeah, if Lindholm did us a huge favor, and Hanifin maybe kind of did too. So I would say that's the only thing keeping me from giving Connor an A is that everything else has been pretty, he's done a really solid job. Huska on the
B plus for Connie?
Yeah, B plus for Connie. You?
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. A minus.
All right.
But Huska, I'm still not sold on this guy. Has he done a good job considering, you know, the whole situation with the group? Yes. The team is so bad defensively.
Yeah.
And we're not that much better offensively. It took you 74 fucking games to figure out the power play. Like, come on. Like, some of these personnel decisions, you know, I don't have too much beef with healthy scratching Mazzara because he's been great. And he's been doing the right things with him since. And even today, what was it Rudy said? A quote from Huska is, someone asked him, how do you deal with Coronado? How do you help him progress? And Huska says, you just got to keep playing him.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, then do it, Huska. That's been my complaint with Coronado is he hasn't been playing enough. But
I'll give him a B minus. I don't know. I guess I'm pretty generous.
You're a little lenient. I'll go maybe more of like a C plus. Like you said, I think maybe it's in the context of the offense. Well, it has been clicking of late, mostly because of the power play. But systems wise, the team has dropped off a clip defensively. And this is even before they traded everybody away. Like,
It's one
thing if they trade everybody in the summer and they're running this rebuild skeleton crew and your defensive numbers suck. But they've had a really hard time defending with how he's kind of like changed things around. And I mean, they haven't really, they're still playing kind of meat and potatoes offense for the most part. So systems wise, it's been, the changes probably haven't worked as well as you'd have hoped.
And you still haven't gotten Hubie Doobie Doo going.
Yeah. Huberto's going to have probably, well, he might have, he got a couple, you have 2 points tonight. He might get to 55. We'll see. But then, yeah, I just think more roster decisions, the kind of like pulling the old Daryl Sutter move of like playing guys way too high in the lineup who shouldn't be there. And I mean, ultimately, you had, what, 94 points? How many points last year? You almost made the playoffs last year at a huge drop off. I'm not saying that's all Huska's fault. I'm just saying if you're looking at the entire body of work throughout the year, you're kind of left. It's okay.
Especially when you're being sold that it was the coaching was the issue.
Yeah. The context matters, right? It was the
and
coach.
Then apparently this dark cloud's been lifted. Everybody's walking on air. Yeah. Farting out bubbles. They're so happy to start the season. Hey?
So he's
the vibes
done
are immaculate.
He's done a good job quieting the noise and dealing with a bunch of bullshit and a bunch of like, there's been shit going on all year. Trade rumors, guys wanting out, all this stuff. So he's done a good job in that sense. He's done a good job letting the leaders lead. But you know, the on-ice products has still been missed a lot of nights. So
I'll give him a bit of the benefit out, just like a player. It's his rookie season.
First year, so yep.
He's gotta get better as a coach and as an individual in this league as well.
As long as he goes the route of like a Jared Bednar and not a Glenn Gulletson or one of the other 5 million.
What do you mean the greatest power play coach of all time?
Yeah.
Throwing sticks over the glass and shit. Kenneth, these final games of the season are similar to preseason. Don't read anything into these guys padding their stats during the last five.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, at the same time, too, they could just pack it in, too.
I'm just loving the effort and the compete. Because like you said, they haven't packed it in. Look, I don't want to watch these fucking games.
You think I'd be watching this if we didn't have to do this? Do you think I'd be doing this right now at 10 o'clock on a Sunday? Think I would have watched this game tonight? No fucking chance.
I'm fucking watching the highlights. But, you know, they're making the games interesting. And I'm sitting there as a fan enjoying the fucking product right now, even though I'm cheering, you know, I'm not cheering for losses, but, you know.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't matter. It's hard because, like, it's not that it means nothing. You still – and, I mean, we can get lost in this. Oh, you need to learn to play the right way and this losing culture bullshit we hear about. But, I mean, for guys like Zeri and Coronado and the younger guys, like, it's important that Kadri doesn't mail it in and the Coleman is – you know, these older guys are still playing hard every night. It's not as important as they probably think it is, and you hear like that in the media, but it's still important.
They're setting a really good example for these young guys.
Yeah.
We got any more, Jack? We got no one. Evan, if Marky gets moved in the summer, do you keep Vladar, or should we look at a more veteran option like Talbot?
I personally would be fine with Vladar. I think it'd be a good incentive season for him, too. Like, he's in a contract year. Show us what you got. Can you give us a solid tandem effort? I'd be comfortable with Vladar. I still think he has more to show than he's shown in the last 2 years.
Well, I think if you're management and you do pull the trigger on a Markstrom trade in the offseason, then to me, I'm sitting here as a fan. I'm like, okay, well, then what are we trying to do here in the net? And I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to mold and give Dustin Wolf everything he needs to become a stellar pro and NHL goaltender.
Yeah.
So then I look at, well, is Vladar going to help him do that? I don't think so. Maybe you bring in a bit more of a veteran guy, or maybe Vladar is. I don't know. Like, I don't really get goaltenders, to be honest with you. They're like so hit or miss. They're weird. They're always – everybody knows who plays hockey. The goaltender is always the weirdest guy in the room. But I don't know. Would you want Vladar to be kind of the mentor to Wolf, or is Wolf that then a 1A situation and Vladar is 1B? Like, what are you trying to do if you're Connie?
Yeah, well, in the net? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you is, like, Kate – what's more important to you, having a guy who like is there to mentor Dustin Wolf, or having a guy who can take a lot of shots and take some pressure off Dustin Wolf? It's like, we're playing the Oilers tonight and we might absolutely shit can. We're going to sacrifice poor Dan Vladar, put him in the net there to go take one for the team and get lit up. So I don't know. I think
he's the only guy that can beat the Oilers. So keep him for that.
He's under contract. I like Dan Vladar's attitude. He's a good guy. I'd be fine with Vladar, rolling with Vladar and Wolf into next season.
Hopefully that answers your question. Justin, why can't the Flames learn when to win and when to tank? Very over mediocre with this team. Well, at the end of the day, Justin, I think it's, you know, it's kind of what I said earlier is you're going to finish where you deserve to finish. Like, we're playing these last final games. You're playing against San Jose, the Ducks, the Coyotes, all teams in the bottom of the league. And these are entertaining games. So we're actually quite evenly matched with these teams, right? But we are able to beat them. So maybe we're slightly better.
We're able to beat them now, not when it fucking matters, apparently. Trying to make the playoffs. 2 points out of the playoffs and we can't beat them.
When there's too much pressure on the line, no, then we can't handle it. But so
it's tanking. You can't, no matter, especially hockey with it being so variable, it's like pretty much, you just have to draft well no matter where you pick. You know, you can be a Carolina and not pick a lot. You like even Dallas, I know they had a really high pick in Miro Heiskanen in 2017, but Dallas has a lot of their core players from later picks. Jason Robertson, Jake Ottinger, Wyatt Johnston. These guys aren't super late picks, but they're not top 10 picks for sure. Thomas Harley. So you draft well is the key. It would help if you finish top five or top three, but if you just draft well continuously for a few years and put the work into drafting and doing a good job there, you're going to reap the benefits eventually.
Well, that and good management decisions across the board. I mean, Mike Gould had a good tweet the other day, like, we're just breaking even out of the deficit that Brad Tree Living put us in with his overspending here as a GM for 19
years. Yeah, just with draft picks. So it's gonna take a little while. And trust me, I feel your pain. We've been mediocre for my entire life. So
since 2004. It's the ultimate cock tease, eh? It's the cock tease team. They pull you back in.
Oh, yeah.
And worse, when you think you're out of second.
Flames fans are so easy to pull back in, man.
That 0-4 run will keep us around for 30 years.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Dude, winning a playoff series against, like, Vancouver 10 years ago has kept most people forever. They're on board for, like, 40 years. One playoff series victories? I am on board.
Playoffs, baby.
All right. What else do we got here?
Monty, would you take Teej Iginla over all the defensemen available?
I wouldn't. I would, for fun.
You're talking about the stud defenseman in the top 10?
Well, it depends where you pick and who's available.
Okay, well, let's say you end up picking 6th overall versus 8th overall. We've had this kind of conversation. Yeah. It's like, if you're picking around 10, you're probably fine going off the board with Teej. Because there's the defensemen down that deep aren't going to be as good as the ones before then. But if you're picking 6 to 8,
yeah. Well, you've got the.
I haven't scouted these guys much. I've seen Teej play. I know he's going to be a good NHL player. I know that.
It'd be tough to pass if you had the ability to take like one of Parekh or Sam Dickinson or the Russian guy who's a monster, Saleyev, or the other. He's like Belarusian, Levshunov. Or even like a guy like Zeev Bouyam. Like there's just a lot of really good defensemen. It would just be hard to pass them up. And you never know, but just based on pure scouting reports, it'd be tough to, if one of those guys is available, take him. But I'd still fucking love it. So.
Me too, dude. Dude, I'm all in on Teej. That's all I want to know. I just want to finish where the Flames want to take Teej is where I want to finish. Who would you root for if Edmonton's Soilers? I prefer the Coilers, but Soilers is also good.
Soilers is brilliant. I like it.
And Vancouver Canucks make it to the Western. This is not even a question, dude. 100%
the Oilers. Vancouver. You cheer for the Oilers over the Canucks?
I mean, no.
Root for the opposite. Yeah. It's the Canucks, and it's not even close.
100% I would cheer for the Canucks.
There was a brief moment in time where the Canucks were so hated when they had Kessler and Bieksa and the Sedins and Burrows and all those shitheads.
If it was 10, 12 years ago, for sure.
I remember watching Game 7 in Boston beating them, and I was just like praying the whole time. I was like, please let this. I hate these guys so much. But as of now, it's the Oilers. And I'm not going to cheer for Vancouver, but Lindholm, Zadorov, I like Pettersson. This feels wrong. I don't like Vancouver. Screw them. But hey, like, yeah, do we need them to lose? What is our draft pick affected, that first round pick?
I don't know. Everybody keeps mentioning this as like, because Vegas is tied up in a draft pick, depending on, there's a conditional with Vegas, there's a conditional with Dallas, right? Conditional
with Vancouver. Pike had an article on it the other day. I got to pull it up.
Would it be best if they were all eliminated in the first round? Probably.
I think we want Vegas to beat Dallas if they play each other. We want Vegas to go far, I think, because we want that third to turn into a second. But under no circumstances will I ever cheer for the Edmonton Oilers.
Zero. In fact, like, I don't know if you listen to the podcast, but just wait how entertaining it gets when they are on the brink of elimination. Tune in. I'll sing you my Connor Neckbeard song. How about that?
Yeah. All right. We got any more? We can do a few more, right?
Oh, yeah. Overtime. It's only 10 o'clock.
Steinberg does this for like 7 hours, man.
Steinberg is doing this for 8 more hours, folks. If you kept Markstrom and traded Vladar, what would you want back? A pick, or are you looking for someone more like ads like Kuzmenko?
I mean, I think you want somebody younger than Kuzmenko. I'd be all in on a pick or a player under a prospect under 24, 23.
You're not getting much back for Vladar, let's be honest.
Yeah. Victor. I don't think you're getting jack
That's
shit.
That's your boy.
Victor. I don't think you're getting jack shit back for Vladar, dude. Think about what you could get from Markstrom. Like I just said, you're probably getting a draft pick and maybe a prospect. Vladar, what does he make? He's got a heftier salary than you might think, too. So
if Markstrom was a tough deadline sell, then yeah, Vladar imagine was Vladar. Be
and he's been really bad the last couple of years. So I think you'd probably have to pay someone to take Vladar at this point.
Montreal, turn him into two firsts.
Yeah, let's avoid paying people to take contracts again. Sean Monahan, 26 goals.
What else we got, Jack? Gordon, in the mock draft, they have Muse at 29th as a right D. I love to get both Teague and Muse. What do you think about Muse as a right D?
All I know is a few scouting reports that I've seen about him. I'm not going to be as super well-versed. I think he plays, where does he play, in the OHL? Yeah, he's 67th. Hey, man, we need defensemen. And I know it looks like we maybe have a glut of defensemen. I think we have a glut of not-so-great defensemen. Organizationally, this team needs more upper echelon defensemen. So if you can come out of this first round with a solid defenseman, I think you'd be pretty happy. Not that you're drafting based on position, but yeah.
When was the last time we had a young stud
D-man
defenseman? Was it Dion? And he was more offense, right?
I mean, Anderson Shillington came with pretty high billing. Adam Fox.
I'm talking like studs, dude. Like,
yeah, we're talking. We picked him in the first round, and we're like, hell yeah, it's been a while.
Fox, fucker. Justin, do you think Coronado cracks the full time roster next year? Well, I think he deserves to, but that's a good question. I'm actually, you know, as of late, I'm kind of okay how they're dealing with him. Because like you said, you pull up those AHL stats, he's a little over a point per game.
Yeah, I think he's got 42 and 40.
So if they just keep, I don't know, I think he cracks the roster to start the season. I don't know if he'll get sent back down full-time. Well, that is the question.
What do you think? Yeah, I think he'll be on. I think he should be on the team. Might have a goddamn conniption if he's not on the team. He might have a meltdown if he's not. No.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, he does. I think he puts in the work in the offseason. He comes in training camp. He staples himself onto the roster and just plays himself. He makes it impossible for the coach to.
No, he did it in preseason this year. He made it impossible for them to cut him. He was great in preseason.
It's a good question.
Probably got a few more here. Hey, Parker, what's up, brother?
What's up, fellas? If Cole Eiserman, is it Eiserman? Yeah. Slipped to the Flames pick, would you be okay if we took him over Teague, or are you guys set on Teague in that 8 to 10 range? I'm set.
I'd be okay taking a guy who all he does is score goals, for sure. I mean, in my little Flames Jerome McGinley loving heart, Parker, I'd die a little bit inside for sure. But dude, Eiserman, he's dropped a lot this year in the draft rankings, as far as I can tell. All the kid does is score goals. The great goal scorer. So
at the end of the day,
I'd be okay with it.
At the end of the day, and this just probably speaks to my fandom more than anything, I'm just hoping that the Flames finish exactly where they want to pick Teague. That's all I'm hoping for. It's probably not good, right? I should be hoping for someone better than him. But
I think that's a fair hope.
At this stage of the game, I'm going to trust Connie and them. But if they fucking pass on him and whoever we draft turns out to not be as good as NHLer as Teague, I will be pissed for the rest of my life.
What do you want to do? One more question? One more, two more?
One more, two more. One more, two more. Let's go. If we got two more, we'll do two.
Let's do two more.
What do you boys think about the Tarek passer cack? I don't even know who he is, so you're gonna have to touch on this one. Will he be a steal of the first round? He will be, in Evan's opinion.
If the Flames don't pick him, if the Flames pick the pick right before him and pick somebody else, then he will be the steal of the first round. That's usually how it works, right?
Yes.
I don't know enough about the player to speak on him, so I'll let Gould or somebody more into the draft stuff do that next time.
Okay, last one.
One more.
If the Flames make the playoffs next year, you guys are going to full neck beards.
I don't think you ever go full neck beard, do you?
We should do a little fan contest, eh?
Who can grow the best neck beard?
Do something that if the Oilers are balanced in the first round, if they get swept, eh? If the Oilers get swept in the first round, I'll grow a fucking neck beard. Okay.
Oh yeah, you're on. I like it.
I'll say it right here, right now. We'll do some sort of weird donation when I shave it off.
Sounds like a plan. All right, guys. Thanks for jumping on. That was fun. Good game. The Tank Bowl. That was fun. I think Barnburner is back tomorrow, and you can listen to our show whenever you want. It's called In the Dome Podcast. You don't have to listen to it. It's cool with me. But we're releasing an episode tomorrow too, so check that out. And hey, that was a fun game to watch, man.
Shit, now I don't want the Oilers to get swept.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, guys. Anger.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.